Right. I want you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 is the last chapter of a letter that Paul wrote to the Philippian church. And I'm going to preach the last chapter. A lot of our preaching, and I do it myself, is kind of thematic. But as I was reading through Philippians, I just saw the last chapter and I thought, this is a letter that was written to a group of people and we have it inside the pages of the Bible. So you are allowed to be blessed and to be encouraged by words that were written for another group of people many, many years ago, but are just as relevant for us today as they were then. And I just found myself challenged going verse by verse by verse to see what this is really saying. And because sometimes we can take verses out of context. Now, there's two verses that almost all of you will know out of that verse without even looking at it. One of it is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We take it out of context. Verse 19 says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. We know that verse. But unless we place them in context, we may not get the blessing from them. So we're going to go through that. But let me just say something, which is quite amazing. That Sue, where's Sue? Sue's with the children. Sue came to me last week and she said, I found a letter that was written to my mother. And it's written from a person called C. Sibthorpe. And I said, ah. And she said, it's a member of your family. I said, that's my great-grandmother. She said, that letter was being written to my mother to say that my grandmother and the family, there were three unmarried aunts. We always call them the aunts at Briarlea because that was the house that they lived in. Auntie Elsie, Auntie Mabel, and Auntie Annie. And Charlotte, who is my great-grandmother, and William, who is my great-grandfather, paid for Sue's mother to go to grammar school because she failed her 11 plus. Isn't it amazing what happens when someone writes a letter? And the other day on our word for the week, I wrote about dear Theophilus and thought, we're losing the blessing of written words and writing letters. We text, we send emails that we tell everybody not to print because we may ruin the planet. But because we don't do it, then others can't benefit. So, you are now benefiting from a letter that was written before my great-grandmother wrote to Sue's mother and is written for you. So we'll go for it. Verse 1. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, this is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with you, Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, I asked you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. You know, when we start reading just straight through a passage, kind of some of these verses, you think, well, you know, is that a message? Is that a preach? Yes, it is. Because actually we're getting inside of people. I'll carry on. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet, it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except only you. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift. I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering and an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'll leave out the greetings. Right. Chapter 4, the end of Paul's letter. What is his message to us today? I'm giving it a headline. How to stand in the path of blessing. As I read these words, I see Paul saying to this church, I just want to tell you people, it says it in the first one, how you should stand firm in the Lord. And the last verse says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Is how do we stand in the path of blessing? God wants all us to be blessed, okay? And therefore, if you stand in the right place, you get, you know, we can find ourselves standing in the wrong place sometimes. Do you know what I mean? And when you stand in the wrong place, you may find yourself showered over with problems, with difficulties, with sorrows, with sadness. But God says, if you stand where I want you to stand, it's going to be blessing poured out on you. So, what happens? I've got actually written down here 8 things. How we should stand firm in the Lord. First of all, we live in peace. These people called Euodia, if I pronounced it correctly, Euodia and Syntyche, to agree with each other in the Lord. Now, as I read through those verses, I thought, now what is he saying here? There's two people in the church, and they don't agree with each other. As I look at the rest of the verse, because they talk about being sort of partners in the gospel, I see two people who really kind of aren't really getting on well together. I'm not sure whether it's just a disagreement. It also could be that they're both kind of key players in the church, but they're jealous of each other. And one is leading this sort of, this, you know, someone's leading the youth work and someone else is leading a home group, but they're really, oh, my home group actually does achieve something. I don't know about you, but those bunch of kids, they're a bunch of tearaways. But my folks are really getting built up in the Lord. There is a danger in God's work that we cease to honor every part of the work. I just say this, you know, within the body of Christ, criticism of other believers can be very, very damaging. You know, someone says, with a church like this, I'm talking about a what? For a church like this, who needs the devil? Because they do pretty well in destroying one another. And it's the devil that we're against. We're not against other believers. And I just found myself saying, Lord, help me to at all times be affirming of the work of God. Sometimes I look at stuff, I don't watch very much Christian television. Sometimes I look at the Christian television, it doesn't actually bless me. Really, rather, I'd rather turn it off and pray for them than listen to them. Because if I listen to them, I'll get ungodly. But if I pray for them, God may be well using what they're doing. Do you see what I'm saying? I thank the Lord in this town of Clevedon. When this church began, all the churches in Clevedon were doing their best to be at loggerheads with each other. And they were succeeding quite well. And through a period of time, through men and women of God in this town, this church, this town affirms one another. We are all for everybody. You ask anybody in any church in Cleveland about any other church in Cleveland, and they'll give you a positive report. We're for the Baptists, we're for the Catholics, we're for Christ Church, we're for St. Andrews, we're for All Saints, we're for them all, because that stands me in the path of blessing. Do you hear what I'm saying? If I'm criticizing God's servants, do you think I'm getting blessed? No. So what I see, if I read something or a magazine arrives, not, we don't all go the same way. Lord, will you bless everybody who's out there, you know, doing the stuff, you know? Kenneth Copeland met the Pope the other day, and the internet is full of people criticizing him. I think that's terrible. I'm glad that Kenneth Copeland met the Pope, because I see God has actually placed in the Roman Catholic Church a man of God, and we have, as the Archbishop of Canterbury, a man of God. We are blessed more than we have been for years and years and years. Okay, I won't get sidetracked. Next thing. 2, rejoice in the Lord always. I wrote a word for the week this week called, what's your joy level? You read it? You know what I said. What is your joy level? Rejoice in the Lord always. When you wake up in the morning, you have every temptation to think of every difficulty that's going on in your life. What Paul said is, look here, you guys. He didn't actually say it because I'm adding the little bits. Look here, every day when you get up, rejoice in the Lord. Because if you rejoice in the Lord, you're going to have your life going in a direction that's going to be blessed. Okay? Now, joy does not come out of circumstances. Joy comes out of the Lord and is presented to the Lord. Okay? So every day we can say, God, you're a good God. Oh, Lord, just it's so good. Here we are, breathing fresh air. We're in a country where we are free, and there's not a gun outside my house about to shoot me. Lord, I thank you. I rejoice in the Lord, because there are others who've got those issues. And let your gentleness be known to all people. So, let your gentleness be known to all people. I just say that. That's what he says. Just act gently towards others. Because there are a lot of things that irritate us. Even people who kind of, you know, phone us up and try and sell us things. Just say, thank you, I'm blessed. I remember one guy rang up one day and he said, you know, he was asking me all sorts of questions, are you healthy? You've got any, this issue, that issue? I said, no, I haven't got any of those issues. I said, I'm blessed. Thank you for your care and concern. Chunk. He wasn't happy because he couldn't sell me anything. Right. So, first of all, live in peace. Rejoice in the Lord. Do not worry. That's what the next thing says. Do not be anxious about anything. You're not allowed to worry. Paul's just saying, look here, folks. Don't worry. Worry gets you nowhere. Can anybody tell me here when worrying has achieved anything? So if worry achieves nothing, well, why do you worry? Now, you know this verse because it's one of those verses from Philippians 4 that people know. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. We probably all can quote it, or a lot of us can quote it. So, what do? You don't get anxious. A situation that rises in your heart, it says pray. It says pray with thanksgiving. How do you pray with thanksgiving? You say, Lord, this is my issue now. It seems totally impossible, but Lord, when that happened, you did it. You answered it. So I know you can do it, even though I don't know how you can do this. And then it says, the peace of God which passes understanding. And I I was at a meeting some couple of years ago, and it says, if you want the peace that passes understanding, you have to you do not have the right, I didn't get it quite right. You have got the word right, near my wife. You have to forfeit the right to understanding. Let me say it again. If you want the peace that passes understanding, you have to forfeit the right to understanding. Lord, it isn't solved. I don't know how you're going to do it. I've prayed. I'm not worrying. I've got peace. But what now? And the Lord says, don't worry. I've got it. I've got it. You haven't. So you can have your peace, but you're not going to understand. You will understand, but you don't necessarily get the right to understand. And people will say, how can I stop worrying? Because everything is still the same. And Paul said, you can stop worrying, because when you've prayed and thanked, you'll get the peace that passes understanding. And that's a good way to live. And that keeps you standing in the place of blessing. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's the headline. Okay? Next one. Number four. Live in the right environment. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. Live in the right environment. Now, these can be quite challenging, because we live in a world where all sorts of stuff goes on. You know? Some folks can watch certain films that others can't. I mean, I can quite honestly, you know, Joyce and I will go off to the cinema sometimes, we'll watch something. I'm not quite sure whether it's quite Philippians 4:8. But however, it's actually what I would call, it's just a sort of a moment of escapism. I think what we're saying here is that surround yourself with an environment where things are right and true and pure and lovely. Do not allow an environment of criticism. Do not allow an environment of negativity. Do not allow your home to be filled with so much the stuff on the television, the stuff on the radio, which is basically, it's just negative. Some of it's downright filthy. Some of it's just totally unhelpful. I think when Paul's saying is, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, make sure that your environment is a place of well-being. Do you see what I mean? Sometimes it's just good to just be somewhere where you get, Thursday was great. So we just said, let's go out and enjoy the sunshine. So we went over to Wales to a beach called Southern Down. And we sat on the rocks there and just read our books. And the sea was there and the seabirds were flying. The place was just heaving with families. We didn't realize it was the strike for all the teachers. So the place was just completely heaving with people. But we found a nice bit of rock that we sat on until the tide at Southern Down completely eliminates the beach. But we were in an environment which actually feeds you. Okay? And so what Paul is saying is live in the right environment, an environment which is pure and lovely and excellent and praiseworthy. Let us always be people who are just pouring out praise. Your great-granddaughter, Pearl, has a picture on Facebook. She is absolutely beautiful. She's a stunner. Now, when you see a picture like that, I know you're not on Facebook, so you can't see it, but you'll get the photograph some of these days because someone took it. But I want to say, when you see someone like that, and you know, sometimes you write a little comment and say, hey, that is a most beautiful picture. That's praiseworthy. Now, you're all smiling because you all, you know, if you've seen the picture, you know why I'm saying what I'm saying. If you haven't, you can actually sense a little child totally delighted in. And you just think, that's great. And all your words come out of positive. Okay, so here we go. Live in the right environment. True, noble, right, pure, lovely. I mean, there are some things that you need to, you know, I mean, I was just talking about, I mean, Peter was telling us all the films he watched on his plane back there, so I didn't want to kind of put my brother under condemnation with my pure, lovely, true, and all the rest of it stuff. But, you know, there are some things that we know we can view and we can't view. In the end of the day, we come out with hearts that are pure and we're not actually contaminating ourselves. But my sister, Carolyn, who lives in New Zealand, you know, there's certain things that we've talked about. Hey, have you seen such a... Well, I couldn't see that. I can't handle that kind of thing. Great. Fine. Don't. Do you understand what I mean? Just because someone has come and said, you know, they enjoy the chainsaw massacre or something like that, and you say, well, I couldn't watch that. You probably couldn't. I probably couldn't either. Okay. Right. Now, next bit, 10 to 12. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that you have renewed a concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you have had no opportunity. I have learned in whatever state to be that I am to be content, whether I've got plenty or whether I've got a little. Paul just said to these folks, I want you to understand something. That I have learned that there are times which things are difficult and there are times when things are going really well. But God has shown me that I can be content in every circumstance, whether things are going well or whether things are going badly. Now, in the last week, we have stolen number 24 Old Street, which actually has put the food bank out on the street, which I'm very sorry for. However, I'm actually very pleased because over the last 18 months, a company, which is part of my family business, has been going through a very difficult time, which in short means that the directors didn't get paid. Which means that there was not as much around as there might have been. But I can say, I have learned that in whatever circumstances, there were to be content. God has provided in other ways. And also, I've been utterly amazed that despite a chunk of income disappearing, we seem to have sufficient for all our needs. I don't quite know it. But I believe that when you stand in the path of blessing and say, Lord, you are my provider, I have learned in whatever circumstances I am in, therewith to be content. I'm in the pathway of blessing. And so we have lacked nothing. And we have known the blessing of the Lord, whether in plenty or whether in need. Thank the Lord, the plenty is about to return. Hallelujah. And we bought a new carpet for our lounge this week. Thank you, Lord. Okay. I can do, and then verse 13 says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. What is everything? I can rejoice in the Lord. I don't worry. I pray and I receive peace. I rejoice in plenty. I rejoice when there isn't plenty. I can do all those things through Christ who strengthens me. So the whole of the well-being of my life, I can live in peace with all men. I can bless all God's people. Why? Because I do it through Christ who strengthens me. You know, when you're in a situation like I have been over the years, there are times when I have had people who don't like me. And I've had people who could be quite aggressive towards me. I won't tell you the tales, probably freak you out. But it not doesn't cause me a moment of lack of sleep, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can love those who don't love me. I can bless those who are against me, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it isn't just a kind of catch-all, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It means that I can rejoice. I can live at peace. I can be content. I can place myself in the right environment, because that's the place of blessing. And I can do it, even when it's difficult, because of him who gives me strength. So if my living situation, or if the people around me are not easy, I can still live at peace because of Christ who lives in me. Now you see, it gives that verse a bit more richness, doesn't it? Okay, let's move into the next bit. Time's rolling by. I think I might hit the finishing tape on time. Okay, number 7. Yes, it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, this is verse 14, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you. Now, that little passage is really saying, Philippians, I'm very grateful to you, because you have got into your, you got right inside you that the heart of the gospel is that you give. And you gave to me when no one else gave to me. You enabled me to continue my ministry because you gave. And because you gave, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, we take our tithes and offerings every Sunday here. I just find it a very key moment. In fact, I write out a check every week, not because I couldn't put in a standing order, and I'm not against standing orders, but it's part of an act of faith. When Joyce and I walk up to that basket and we put the offering in there, I say, Lord, I'm giving this to you because you are so utterly faithful to me, and because this is part of my worship to you, and if I don't sow, I won't reap. A few weeks ago, I'd been putting a certain amount in, and kind of these incomes had all been flowing around, and it looked at that stage as if, you know, the kind of lack in that particular area was just going on forever. And I thought, Lord, you know, just we never seem to get through this one. And I was about to reduce the amount that I gave. I sat in the chair writing out my check, knowing that I was giving more than, you might say, the mathematical amount, because I was in faith that it was all going to get sorted out. And I thought, no, Lord, I cannot rob you. And I don't mind whether it's more than I've, you know, more than it's going to sort of put tightness in other areas. So I wrote it out, and we went up, and the offering went into the basket. About 3 days later, I have an email from my co-director, who is Julian, who is John and Maya's son, saying, bit of money come in the company, I've stuck some in your bank. I thought, hallelujah. Now, you can say, oh, that was already in the pipeline. What I believe is this, that I wanted to keep myself in the pathway of blessing. Do you see what I mean? So during these times when things have not been the easiest, every time I go there, is, and I give, it's to keep me in the pathway of blessing. Oh Lord, I can't afford. I can't afford not to give. All I can tell you, I just cannot afford not to give. Because if I stop giving, I block the flow of blessing. And Paul is just saying this, because you see, if you say, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, hallelujah, but I'm broke, you didn't read the letter. He just took a little bit out of it and tried to make it work. If you read the letter, you'll find how it works. And the letter was that the Philippians had generously, lovingly, abundantly blessed Paul. He said, I don't need it. He said, but I have put it down to your account, says here. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking what may be credited to your account. Thank you, Lord, what's credited to my account in heaven, because the credit that I'm building up in heaven means my God is supplying all my needs according to his glory in Christ Jesus. Good, isn't it? So, my title is Stand in the Path of Blessing. And chapter 4, which is the last quarter of a letter written to somebody else, but you had a blessing and a chance to read because it was placed in the Bible so we can all read it. If you read the whole of that bit, you discover what Paul is saying is, look here, my heart is for you guys. I want you to stand strong, but I've just got a few words to help you stand strong. And if we live this way, that's how we stand strong. And it's good to read the Bible. I used to pick up a Bible plan. These are over on the, these Bible plans are over on the information desk. You can take one, you can take as many as you like, because I've got a box full of these things, and I'm utterly committed to people reading the Bible. You don't need to give me any money for it, because I paid the printing bill, and I've got the box, and I just want to give them away. And I often give them away. One New Year, I handed one to everybody here, and since that time, I've kept a supply on the information desk. So as you go around there, why? Because I just believe that if you keep reading the whole story, you get the whole blessing. And although I quite enjoy doing thematic preaching, I just felt the Lord say, just give them a section of Philippians so that they can know how much Paul was committed that they were to be a blessed people. So if you've got, if there's something that's a bit missing there, just readjust, get on the right place and say, Lord, I'm standing where the blessing is falling out of the sky. Okay? Are you happy? Good. Are you blessed? Yes. Are you going to be more blessed because of today? Yes. Amen. Just stand on your feet. I like to pray. Father, I want to thank you that you're such a loving and faithful and wonderful God. Father, I want to thank you that you sent Jesus, who has redeemed us, who has brought us back in connection. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. We have come to the Father because of Jesus. And Father, I want to thank you that you want us to stand in the place of blessing, so that when we say, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you that that is a reality for every one of us every day of our lives because of who you are. And if there's anybody who is not connected to Jesus, then you need to come that way, the way of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Come to the Father, so that when you are connected to the Father, you can stand in that place of blessing and enjoy everything that God has for you. And Lord, I just thank you that we're a blessed people. And Lord, I pray that your blessing will be poured out on us today. Amen.